Okay, we are so glad you made it a point to join us on this Friday night at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and we want you to connect with us online at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. As promised, it is time now for our conversation. We're going to hit the hardwood. We're going to get some NBA news and notes, and it's a pleasure to welcome in one of the guys I actually had an opportunity to visit with during my recent time in Las Vegas for the NBA Summer League, and that is Steve Kuyler, the managing editor and publisher for Basketball Insiders. How are you, Steve? It's good to have you with us on this Friday night.
Well, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Well, we've got a ton of ground and topics that I want us to hit on. But first and foremost, let's get your take on the Minnesota Timberwolves, Kevin Love, and the speculation surrounding his desire to separate and to move on from Minnesota. I mean, kind of give us the skinny in terms of when is the expected departure supposed to take place, and what team, in your estimation, might be the best fit?
Well, this one's been kind of brewing for a while. Kevin's made it pretty clear that, you know, he has an option for free agency next July, so basically after next season. And he's made it pretty clear that he's going to make that option for free agency, very much like Carmelo Anthony did with the New York Knicks. So he's going to leave about $16.5 million, $16.3 million on the table for the chance to get into free agency and redo his deal. And, you know, the threat of free agency seems to be what gets guys traded. And really where Minnesota's at is they kind of understand that they're likely going to lose Kevin. He's not overly enamored with being part of that team going forward, wants to be on a winning team. And that started this fervor of teams trying to pry him out of Minnesota. And it's been, you know, the names you've heard, Cleveland, the Golden State Warriors, the Chicago Bulls. You know, Kevin's a great player. He's a double-double machine, arguably one of the best players at his position at power forward. So Minnesota's really being deliberate with this. They're certainly playing each team against each other in terms of making it known what's being offered, trying to drum up the price. And, you know, Minnesota's stance has been from the very beginning that they have the best player in anything that's being offered to them, and you can only trade him once. So from their viewpoint is, you know, they're going to take their time, make sure they get maximum value out of Kevin Love, and if that means this thing rolls into training camp, then it's going to roll into training camp. But a number of the teams that are at the table, specifically the Chicago Bulls and the Cleveland Cavaliers, would like to get closure on this one way or the other. So I think we're going to hear something here in the next 30, 45 days, at least by way of a verbal agreement. We'll see an actual transaction occur after some of these rookie contracts clear in 30 days.
Steve, you're right. The Bulls have expressed interest in acquiring Kevin Love. Obviously, as you're talking about, he's a double-double machine. He is a big-time player. We know what he can do in terms of his execution offensively. He's a great rebounder, great at pursuing the ball. But what about defensively? Because if you're in a Tom Thibodeau system, you better be ready to play some D.
Well, it also would help that you've got a guy like Joakim Noah that's really willing to anchor the paint, and you've got guys like Jimmy Butler if he stays, and certainly the mindset in Chicago is very different than anywhere that Kevin Love has played. And I think we do this a lot is, you know, you ask a guy to go score 35 and then we beat him up because he's not great defensively. If he doesn't have to score 35, he can be more engaged defensively. But, you know, we've seen guys like this, you know, elite level scorers generally are at best average defenders, and you just have to fill in around that. And I think that's where some of Chicago's depth and certainly some of Chicago's scheming would help a Kevin Love. But I don't think Kevin Love's ever going to be an all-defensive player. It's just not where he's wired. He's wired to be an elite scorer, and he does that as well as anybody.
Okay, we are so glad you're with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want to hear from you at E Radio Sports, going one-on-one, taking him to the hoop. That is Steve Kuyler. He is with Basketball Insiders. We want to pause. Steve, tell all of our listeners across the country tonight where they can go and check out all your guys' articles online.
Sure. You head to basketballinsiders.com. We cover the NBA 365, 7 days a week. You know, anything that's going on in the league, you'll find it at Basketball Insiders.
Okay, of course, you were out at Summer League, and we got a nice sampling and a display of Andrew Wiggins. Should the Cavs, should they be eager to trade Wiggins for Love? I mean, he is one of the promising rookies and has so much upside and a big-time future in the NBA.
Well, I think it comes down to what's most important to you today. Is it competing for a championship while you've got LeBron James in the prime of his career? Or is it maybe taking a year or two and letting some of these young guys develop and then being able to compete, you know, pretty much every year for the balance of LeBron's career? I think the mindset is win now. You know, there's nothing guaranteed. Everybody's an injury away. We saw what happened with Derrick Rose after winning MVP. It's taken him 2 years to get back to a point where he can play. So you don't want to waste somebody's career, and you certainly don't want to waste an opportunity. And when you look at the Eastern Conference, you know, if the Cleveland Cavaliers have a healthy Kyrie Irving, a healthy LeBron James, and Kevin Love, they're as formidable as anyone, and then you've got a great coach like David Blatt. So it really does kind of come down to what's your priority. Is it win now, or is it about the future? If it's about the future, you absolutely hang on to an Andrew Wiggins. But I think when you got LeBron, and it was the gift of all gifts for Cleveland, you have to change your mindset a little bit and get into win now mode. And, you know, the fact that you could maybe obtain Kevin Love for Anthony Bennett, a future first round pick, and Andrew Wiggins, that's not a ton to give up to get what you're going to get in terms of a win now scenario where you can really put yourself in the driver's seat in terms of being an NBA Finals contender.
But Steve, as we look ahead long term, I mean, who would you rather have, Wiggins or Love?
Well, I think in the long term, Andrew Wiggins, but the problem is there's so many things we don't know about Andrew, and you saw it in Summer League, you mentioned, there were moments where Andrew's just breathtaking. It's just amazing mm-hmm. what he can do physically, but then there are moments where you're like, oh, he's still on the floor, and that's kind of the problem is, you know, you don't know what he's going to be. You don't know if he's going to be, you know, the next LeBron James or the next Tracy McGrady. You know, Tracy would give you 50 one night and give you 13 the next. And, you know, from a Cavalier point of view, when you've got the number one guy, you know, again, I say if you've got LeBron James, you make the deal for Kevin Love. If you don't have LeBron James, you hang on to Andrew Wiggins. I don't think you need to do both because LeBron still has 6 or 7 years of really good basketball left in him. And the fact that he wants to be in Cleveland long-term despite his contract, you know, for me, I'm going all in and hoping that not only does Kevin Love come in and make us a contender, but Kevin Love comes in and signs long-term and makes us a contender very much like LeBron had in Miami.
Well, one of the things that was so evident in Summer League, I mean, we know Andrew Wiggins, he's destined to be an elite, I think, NBA defender. I mean, he led his team in blocks and steals. I mean, he's got such a great feel for the game, and I just love how steady he is and just that sense of calm that he has. He never panics.
And that's sometimes the problem is, you know, you'd like to see a little more fire. You'd like to see a little more aggression from him. And just to kind of counterbalance Jabari Parker going number two to the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, what Jabari doesn't have in Andrew's talent, he has in that competitive fire. And, you know, that's some of the problem with Andrew is that, you know, he really hasn't taken a lot of this basketball very seriously. And I'm interested to see how it plays out in the NBA. You know, we've seen guys who get into the NBA and really get challenged both physically and emotionally and respond well. Kevin Durant, you know, came in out of Texas and was a little bit, you know, sheepish and kind of timid about some things. And he turned into one of the best players on the planet. You know, so you wonder if that's what the future has for Andrew Wiggins. I think it's very possible, but again, I don't think we know it. I think there are things you know, and I think you know what you get into Kevin Love. But as you mentioned, Andrew right away is going to be an impact player in terms of his length and his ability to defend. And I think his offensive game and his ability to carry a team is something that's going to evolve. Remember, this kid just turned 19, so he's still kind of a baby in all sense of the word. And, you know, he'll grow into a very interesting player, assuming he can find the right situation and the right fit.
You are listening to the voice of Steve Kuyler. He is with Basketball Insiders right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Our time is quickly flying by. So what were some of your most impressive takeaways from 2014 from Summer League? What stands out in your mind the most from some of the players?
Well, you know, this year it was kind of everybody was kind of what I thought they were going to be. You know, the second-year players really look like second-year players. Glenn Rice Jr., Tim Hardaway Jr., you know, you just run down the list, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in Orlando. You know, the second-year guys really took the opportunity to take these extended minutes and these extended touches and make the most of them. And I think some of our top-tier rookies this year looked the part. I mean, we didn't get to see Joel Embiid, but, you know, Nerlens Noel got a chance to get on the floor. We'll call him a rookie this year. He looked really good. You know, Jabari Parker and Andrew Wiggins looked really good. And Dante Exum, the kid from Australia that the Utah Jazz obtained, it looked really good. I think everybody, there wasn't a lot of huge disappointments for me. Maybe it's because I cover them so closely, but at the same time, I think who I was expecting to have very good years or very good summers really did. And I think some of the Chicago Bulls players, namely Tony Snell, really impressive in how far he's come from last year to this year. But, you know, there were quite a few guys that really put on tape who they are.
We are flat out of time. Steve Kyler has been with us from Basketball Insiders. And, you know, you mentioned the Chicago Bulls. They missed out on Carmelo Anthony, but they landed Pau Gasol with that three-year, $22 million deal. And I think this instantly boosts the Bulls as one of the favorites in the Eastern Conference. So we will invite you back, and we'll get into that. Okay? Thank you, Steve.
Anytime.
You bet. Much more at YSR. Stay with us.